Good afternoon, everybody. It's 4 o'clock. I know you're getting ready for the networking reception, dinner. I'll try to talk loud to make sure that you stay awake. My name is Neil Schaefer. When I was talking to Brianna, the organizers, about what to present today, they said in the questionnaires that you had provided in the past, there was a need to understand more about the technology landscape for social media tools. So I don't know if this is the best title. I'll be talking about some tools, but really talking about scaling your organization and the role that tools and technology can have in. I was just introduced. I'm a social media strategy consultant and coach, author. I do a lot of speaking at various conferences, do more speaking in Europe than Asia, even though I speak those languages these days. I teach as part of the Rutgers University mini social media MBA program. I recently joined the Irish Management Institute digital marketing certification program, for those of you from Ireland. I am the founder of Maximize Social Business, which is a great social media for business blog I recommend, the Social Media Center of Excellence, and an event called the Social Tools Summit. And I'm also an informal advisor from all of this to a lot of tools companies. So that really begins, now that you know a little bit about me, this is the first time I'm actually showing this in public, but I've actually never been satisfied with the tools that I've had at my disposal. And I thought, you know, there should be a tool that very, very easily analyzes my content to help me optimize it, analyzes my engagement to help me optimize it, analyze my competition for benchmarking, and then analyze my metrics to show me true business ROI. This tool, unfortunately, does not exist. But from my experience as a solopreneur, I had someone in Ukraine develop an alpha for me and a company in India develop a beta for me. And this is back in 2012. So I have a personal wish to evangelize the great things that tools can do. And I really want all the tools companies to develop this tool for me that I think can help everyone in the room. So let's move on before you all try to trademark that UI. CMO spend on social media. So here's the thing. We are spending more and more in our social media budgets. This comes from, I believe, Duke University School of Business. Every year they do the survey of CMOs. How much of your marketing budget goes into social? It's going up and up and up and up. Still only at 11%. I'm sure there's some companies where it's over 20%, but it's going to double in the next, what's the calculation here, 6 years. And at some point, although you need to do more and you're going to have more money, at some point I expect that there's going to be a turning point where companies are going to go, you know, if they haven't said it already, we're spending too much on social. We need to really look at social like we look at every other operation in our business, the way we look at manufacturing, the way we look at customer service. We need to reel it in, find out what's working and what's not, and do it more effectively. If that hasn't come at your company, I do believe the day will come. So really, as a social media manager, you have to manage more social networks, and some of those are not managed by tools like Snapchat. You have to create more content. That content is becoming more visual, and it's becoming more real-time visual, and you actually have to tell a story, like on Snapchat, and there's video. You have to engage with more users because there's more people using social media all the time, but you always have a lack of budget and resources. And I think that situation will not change. It's only going to accelerate over time. The interesting thing, though, that in parallel with this, and we just heard from Mana, represents a great agency, and there's great agencies out there, but a lot of brands now, for whatever reason, and we can debate this, are taking their digital in-house. This is a survey, I think put up by Soda Pop, that said of the agencies or of the brands that they talked to, that trend of 13% doing all their digital in-house more than doubled last year to 27%. If you think about it, agencies do a lot of work. They have quite an infrastructure. And if we think of some of the tools that have been developed, Hootsuite is one of them. I mean, that developed from an agency that developed their own tool to serve their customers that they now let everyone else do. If you've heard of the content marketing platform Writer Access, they used to be a content marketing agency, then opened up their tools so anyone can hire one of the writers that are in their platform. So agencies have quite a bit of infrastructure and quite a bit of innovative technology, and all of a sudden brands are trying to leapfrog past them, which obviously is not easy to do, considering the lack of budget, the lack of time, the need to show ROI. So the background for this presentation for all this is that brands need to learn to scale their social media program. And I believe the only way to scale is through one of these four things, and there's no shortcuts. You have people, you have paid social, you have processes, and then you have tools. Guess what? People don't scale, right? And if you're in social media, you know that more than anyone. The only way to scale your people is either to hire more people or to educate them. It's why companies that have these great plans for an employee advocacy program find out that they actually have to train their employees and how to use social media from a professional perspective a lot. So it comes down to this human element. And one way in which companies can scale, and I think we're going to see more of that, I mentioned employee advocacy. It's part of this leveraging the other, right? Whether it's your employees, your fans through brand advocacy programs, influencer marketing is only going to get bigger. It's all about leveraging, you know, you're a single brand account, and there's hundreds of millions of social users that can hopefully become your advocate in social media. So we're going to see more of these types of programs, but the problem here is, once again, we can't scale. They're all people. When it comes down to influencers, if you hire Vaynerchuk Media, they've spent time developing relationships with these influencers. If you want to do it in-house, everyone is a single person. Human communication is an art, right? And it's something that we can't forget. We also can't forget that social media was made for people, not for businesses, and we always have to be humanizing our operations. And I think Mana made a lot of great comments and remarks on that before me. So that's people. That's really the hardest part to scale. Need continual education, coming to events like these, going to webinars, reading books, reading blog posts, whatever it might be. What about paid social? Well, paid social, and I had a chance to talk to the Facebook Japan ad manager, it's like FastPass. You're already spending $100 to go to Disneyland. Why not spend another $100? So you have a great experience. You're first in line, right? I think the social media world has understood the value of paid social, and it's not something that we regret doing or we're going to do less of. I think we're all doing more of it, because if social is the amplifier, paid social truly is the accelerator for anything that you may want to do. And it's a great way for companies to scale by putting more money into paid. So what about the process? Do you have a system for your social media? In my book, Maximize Your Social, my whole social media strategy framework comes from Professor Edwards Deming and the Deming Cycle, PDCA. But really, he has a number of great quotes, and they're not, this is like in the 60s about quality control and experiments. But if you can't describe what you're doing as a process, you don't know what you're doing. You know, when you have a manufacturing line, it's very clear what the manufacturing processes are: quality control, customer support. What about social media? Are you documenting what you're doing? I think agencies have it all documented. They have really good infrastructure and processes in place. I don't know if a lot of brands do. And this is something that's going to be necessary. And I'll get to processes a little bit more. But really, if I was to put all this together, and this actually comes from when I presented at the last Social Media Strategy Summit in Las Vegas, but you have, you know, your strategy, your tactics, your KPIs, people, process, workflows, paid social, analyzing all this, automation, which I'll get to, outsource, insource. Tools really are there to support this entire social media system that you will need, that you probably already have bits and pieces of, but you'll need to make more efficient over time. But before I go into the tools, it's always process first, tools second. That's why I talk about first documenting your processes. There's a lot of great tools out there. You'll get introduced to them, but if they don't fit your process, if you have to bend your process for the tool, is it worth it? And if you're thinking about a tool and you don't have the process, you can't let the tool define the process if it doesn't make sense. I know it's getting a little bit theoretical here, but hopefully you get the gist. Tools should be supporting the process, not defining the process. If you don't have a process in place and you think that the tool makes sense, that you can define a rational process around it that makes sense, then go for it. There's a lot of great innovative tools out there that do it. But for the most part, this is why a lot of companies will not change their tools after using them for a year or two, because all the processes are in place to support them. At the very end of this presentation, I'm going to talk about how to do an audit and try to figure out if it makes sense to replace some of those tools or not. But really, when we talk about tools, and it's impossible to go into all of these, I've engaged with more than 300 different tools companies over the past few years for a variety of reasons. But anywhere from compliance, listening, analytics, social media management, employee advocacy, brand advocacy, content marketing, social selling, social CRM, influencer marketing, social customer service, social recruiting, engagement marketing, paid social management, visual social, social automation. There's a lot of different tools out there. And if you see a category here where you haven't found a tool, I urge you to go out and take a look for it. I've published my own free slide share on social media tools for business buyers guide that you can try to find. But I think more and more it takes many tools to get the job done. And the way we categorize tools, I was talking to the Track Maven gentleman, is it a content marketing tool? Is it an influencing marketing tool? Is it an analytical tool? Is it a listening tool? They don't really fit into these clean silos anymore. In fact, every listening tool that I know is sort of positioning themselves as an analytics tool, as an ROI measurement tool. So it gets a little bit gray, but clearly it takes many tools. And if you work at a large enterprise with a large enterprise budget and you use one of the enterprise tools, like a Sprinklr that tries to do everything, It may do everything, but you may find with some tools it's going to do it better than even a bigger company because of their core niche. But the tools have challenges. And another reason why you need to be doing regular audits, which, like I said, I'll get to the end, is that the tools are dependent on the APIs. The reason why you can't publish from a tool to Instagram is because Instagram APIs will not allow it, unless you're a company like a Schedulegram or an OnlyPult that, you know, supposedly reverse logics the APIs and publishes. Don't know if that goes against terms of service, but it's also the same reason why you can't publish from a Hootsuite to a Google Plus personal profile or a Snapchat yet. Tools are also dependent on relationships. Like a Twitter might have a few different tiers of relationships, and the simply measures that have the greatest relationships get access to, you know, the fire hose maybe faster than others do. So there might be niche tools like an Agora Pulse, which is more of a niche tool, but it's been supporting paid ad comments, which you don't often see in other Facebook dashboards, but you can see in Agora Pulse, or Tailwind for Pinterest, which has supported pretty advanced analytics on Tailwind for some time because that's been their focus, and they have a really, 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 really good relationship with that network. It's also dependent on smart programming, right? If there's no algorithms involved, you can do the work if you have a lot of time, or you can develop the tool. So you want to work with companies that are hopefully smart, that give you actual insight, not just taking the data and making it visual, but that actually do something with the data based on what you would do when you analyze that data. It's also dependent on understanding your problems. Challenge I've seen with a lot of social media tools are they're technology people that develop tools based on the technology but not on marketing needs. Well, what's come around the last few years is we've seen a vetting out of these companies, and I think the companies with tools that are large in scale now understand that, and in fact they are developing their tools based on your roadmaps. So if there's something that's missing, a relationship with a tool vendor is really your best friend to help you make your job better and to help you scale. Now, you could also create your own tool, and if you come from a large organization with a large IT department and you're already writing into some of the APIs, it's not difficult to do just based on my own experience. My tool specifically started out with just Twitter, but in a very little time, I could see how I could expand that to other networks. So now I want to go in. I gave you a bunch of different categories of tools, and I don't have the time and the experience to really talk about each one of them and each one of the tools vendors, but I want to give you some examples of some tools out there, some you probably already know about, some you may not, but really the way that I look at how they may help your organization scale. Content, whatever you do in social media, I believe social media is about the convergence of information and communication. In other words, social media comes down to communication and content. Right? Companies find it hard to communicate to humanize their brand, but they're really good at creating content. So there's a lot of content being created regardless of social network. It's only going to increase. We already had mentioned about BuzzSumo. Now this is not just a place to go for content curation, but for content creation ideas. It's called standing on the shoulders of giants. It's looking at actual track record of content based on whatever keyword that's already popular in terms of social shares on different networks. It's really a brilliant tool that I think every company should have that can help them get really quickly great ideas to create content as well as a great place to look for content to curate. There's a number of tools, and this begins to be a sort of debatable tool. There are a number of tools that when you share content, it will put a little iframe above it with a little call to action. Snipply is probably the most famous one of these tools. Not for everybody. I'm working with another event, actually, that has a link when I promote the event. It actually has that there with my face on it saying that I'm speaking at the event. So there's a lot of pretty interesting ways to use this technology. But if you're looking from direct ROI of content curation, I think this is obviously one easy way of doing it. Like I said, Snipply currently is the leader in the field. Speaking of content curation, we have Curata. They've been at it more than any other company. What I like about Curata is it's an algorithm, and it learns from you. I've seen so many content creation platforms. They say they're learning from you, but I don't see it, right? This is a platform that actually learns from you. They have pretty sophisticated web technology that's spidering the web, and based on your feedback, is only going to get better and better in their recommendations. And these are the types of smart tools that will help you scale, because it'll take you less and less time in the future curate content. Another type of tool, and I haven't seen this, well, it probably exists at the enterprise level, is the notion that if you have a social media strategy and you have a content marketing strategy, you probably want to produce and publish content based on maybe buyer personas, maybe products, maybe industries, but in somehow you want to have these content categories. I call them content buckets. This comes from Edgar. This is just an example of what I use Edgar for, but it's a great way of actually processing and managing your content and making sure that every type of content you want to publish actually gets published. It gives your content marketing some discipline that might not be as easy to do if you're just working off an editorial calendar. And once again, by analyzing these different categories and how they do against each other, it can help you scale your program. Another one, and this comes from a similar type of program called eClincher, that I probably use more than any other one right now, is the ability to upload spreadsheets, but also to continually repeat content that I upload to each one of these categories. We all know that we need to repeat publishing of things in order to get seen. This is a great way of scaling. And I'm not saying repeating like every day. Content I put here is repeated once a month. And whether it's on Twitter, whether it's on Facebook, I'm always finding new people engaging with that. A great way to scale your content through not just repurposing, but using a tool like this and an easy CSV upload, bless you, to continue to publish and to have something published all the time. There's a lot of other content tools I could have gone through. TrackMaven was a great tool. Saw their demo today. You should definitely check them out. There are content tools. There's one called Atomic Reach that will basically look at the different audiences that engage with your blog, both on your website and in social media, and will put your content into one of five categories, whether it's general or educational or specialist, and basically say if you can create content according to these categories, it can increase your website traffic. There's loads of content ideation tools. These are just some, just a few that I wanted to reach out and introduce to you today. Analytics, every listening platform has great analytics. One platform I like, probably because their UI is the most similar to that UI of my own app, is a company called LiftMetrics. If any of you are Hootsuite Enterprise users, you might already be using them without knowing them. They're white label. But it's really about taking all of the data and giving you advice on, you know, recommended character length, recommended hashtags, recommended time of the day. This should be almost first page on any dashboard, giving you recommendations on how to better, how to become more efficient. And this obviously indirectly helps you scale. And regardless of what KPI you're looking for, I found that LiftMetrics, and this is just an example of all the different data points you can get from a campaign, I found LiftMetrics to be really, really comprehensive in giving you all the data that you need, whether you want it or not. What's dangerous is if you use a tool that gives you analytics but doesn't give you the whole picture. You want something that gives you everything for you to manipulate in any way you want. Another one that I love for analytics to let me know how I'm doing is Sprout Social. And for a lot of reasons, but one of the reasons is it's just very, very easy for me to get a report. How many clicks am I getting on whatever content it might be? Bitly is very, very hard to analyze for if you're trying to analyze a lot of different posts that you do. So Sprout Social, a great platform for a lot of reasons. This is one of them. So where are companies investing a lot of money on? Well, if we listen to, you know, Mana's presentation just before mine, obviously influencer marketing is a huge area of investment. And there's a lot of tools out there, a lot of ways of using tools to help companies with their influencer marketing. Simply Measured, who are one of the sponsors here, is another one of these. They're not a listening tool, they're more of an analytical tool. But you know, most active users by post, top users by followers, top users by cloud score, gives you a sense of comprehensive data and helps you calculate or find who are the influencers that you might want to reach out to for whatever campaign you have. TalkWalker is an example of a listening tool that this is for my recent event. Not only does it give you this information, but on the right-hand side here, very, very easily allows you to export that in a lot of different varieties, which is very, very useful. When you write reports internally, you also want to scale that process, and you want to use tools that allow you to easily generate reports with whatever data you want in them. But when we talk about influencer marketing, I think there are two major platforms here in the United States that are finely tuned for influencer marketing. One of them is called Tracker. Tracker, you know, based on keywords, will start to data mine or hashtags and try to find you who are the influencers for that hashtag. This is Social Media Marketing World 2015. But in addition to that, it will let you know what are the trending content that's being shared by all these influencers, which may give you a chance to break the ice with them or maybe content you want to curate. Most engaging influencers, new recommended influencers, always giving you a snapshot as to new people you might want to be engaging with or new content that you might want to curate or post yourself. Tracker is also unique. You know, Sprout Social also has the CRM functionality where you can see the history of any, especially Twitter user that you've ever been engaging with. When you start engaging with influencers, you need an influencer relationship management tool. Fortunately for Tracker, they've actually built this internally into their tool. So no matter what influencer you've engaged with, you can see all the activity that anyone in your organization using Tracker has communicated with them. And as companies have reached out to me, seeing me as an influencer, I hate it when companies reach out to me not knowing that someone just reached out to me a week ago for the same thing. And it happens more than you would think. So it's a great management tool. Then we have Little Bird, or getlittlebird.com. Little Bird is very, very easy. You know, what's the geographic area? What's the keyword? And then it's automatically going to start by recommending a few users. Are these users in your target user base? Would you consider them influencers? And once you do that, what it's doing is it's mapping out the relationships between the influencers and people that are talking about the keywords or the hashtag. And it's basically trying to find who are the insiders, who are the influencers that are actually actively sharing that content. Not clout scores, not followers, people that are actually sharing other people's targeted content, who's sharing whose, what have you. So it's a very, very different tool from Tracker. And if you're interested in these tools, you should probably compare both of them. You know, what are the most of the insiders? What are the most followed topics? There's a lot of different things you can get from this. But another great thing that a KPI in your influencer marketing that Little Bird provides you is social capital. How are you doing in this group of influencers that you've defined, right? Are you getting followed by more? Are you getting, you know, retweeted by more, whatever? It gives you an actual social capital score, which I think is very, very unique, another KPI to add to your efforts. And then there was talk of these platforms you can use or agencies. Del Mondo and Vaynerchuk Media, I think, are examples of agencies that will do influencer outreach for you. There's a lot of platforms where you can find your own influencer. This is an example of Instabrand. There's a number of them out there. I think Tap Influence is another one, FameBit. Some of them specialize, you know, just on YouTube or on other platforms. But basically, you know, you give a budget, you give the number of influencers you want to work with, you know, what their reach is, what their influential score is, what have you, and you can literally directly reach out to them for a campaign, invite them to the campaign, and, you know, manage and measure everything through this dashboard. So another way in which companies can sort of scale their influencer programs, instead of having to reach out to 30 people, at least do it on one platform where you can do a casting call and manage everything inside it. Advocacy is another area where there's been, if we see more and more budget going into influencer marketing, we see more and more tools being developed for advocacy. A lot of times employee advocacy, but this can also be used for brand advocacy. Just today, a company out of the Netherlands, you know, another new advocacy tool. And I think I should not go to this yet. I think the functionality that the advocacy tools give you is pretty similar. The ability to you know, create content and have your employees share it and measure it in a leaderboard and analytics and what have you. One of the more unique ones, I think, is GagOamp, because in addition to requesting your employees to share content, maybe they forgot to like your LinkedIn company page, or you want them to like a YouTube video or whatever it is, you can do these not just sharing content, but actual actions direct on social media APIs to do all the different things that you see here, which I've found unique in the advocacy programs, and it can give you more bang for your buck. And obviously, GagOamp has a unique approach to showing you the reporting as to how well you're doing. They basically obviously measure the amount of clicks and give you this good-looking graph, but you put in a number as to if you were to get people to click on your tweets or Facebook posts or LinkedIn posts, how much is each click worth? How much do you pay for CPC? And easily be able to compare that with your employee advocacy program and within a minute have a nice report that says this is the ROI of our employee advocacy program, because buying media would have cost us a lot more than what's being done through here. So GagOamp's one of many platforms. Dynamic Signal, Social Chorus, go on and on and on. And I'm sure a lot of you are probably already using one of these platforms. Another interesting trend, and this might be a way to scale your program as well to simplify it, is that if everybody is using a mobile device, that your employee advocacy program should be more mobile-centric. I think Social Chorus is a tool that's been moving in this direction. I'm not sure if all the tools support mobile equally, but we also see employee advocacy programs also becoming part of employee engagement programs, and HR becoming more involved in internal communications. And the best way to engage with employees is through a smartphone. So you could very well easily create your own app. And this is an example of a unique German company that I've used to create an app for my Maximize Social Business blog They're called Blabsta, and it's really about using an app for your internal communication and or your employee advocacy, because you can easily send notifications. And using an app like this, you can target who you send those notifications to, what content you send, and what have you. And it's actually really, really simple. Whether you have an RSS feed of content or you have a WordPress blog, within 5 minutes, you can actually preview what your app would look like on an iOS or Android device, and then they will actually submit it for you for a monthly fee, and your app is on the App Store. Really, really easy to use. Something to think about when we're thinking about going mobile. It doesn't have to cost a lot of money to actually create an app that can help you with employee engagement and with advocacy. So the last one I save is automation. This is the tricky one. If we need to be better communicators and more human, is there any role for automation in social media? And I've done a lot of experimentation with this. Automation you can't do on all the platforms. It's only on those platforms that give you open APIs. And that platform specifically is Twitter, where I've seen tools emerge that help you do a little bit of automation. Now, what does that automation look like for those of you who you might have received a direct message not knowing it was automated or knowing it was automated? And I'm not talking about just sending a welcome message to anyone who follows your brand. I'm talking about things that are very, very targeted and relevant and personalized. So this is an example of one platform I think is the leading platform right now in social automation called Sucedo. I've actually seen more and more brands use them because I get their direct messages. I like to say I've been Sucedo'd. It becomes that popular or that common. But you know, it's based on keywords. It's based on words that might be in titles. And it's also based on geography. So you can fine tune this as much as you want to tell this tool, I only want to potentially add these types of users into my automation funnel. You can also, similar to custom audiences, you can actually upload your email database to find these users on Twitter as well, if they're following you or whether or not they're following you. Then to establish the automation, this is where it may sound creepy, but you're basically sending social signals, right? You're favoriting a tweet, you're following them, and if you get a follow back, you are sending a direct message that hopefully is personalized, which is easy to do with, you know, hi first name, but it's also relevant to that person because they tweeted on that same subject matter. So the key is, none of this is automated until you approve a prospect. You see who that person is and what tweet it was that triggered a potential entry into this automation process. So it's not automated, it's semi-automated, but once you approve them, it allows the Sucedo to do its thing. And you know, not everybody is going to click on that direct message or what have you. You don't even have to do one that has a call to action for a click. But I've been very, very surprised. Now, usually the people that are most snarky are like other social media consultants and social media authors. So they're like the, you know, the 0.1% of the population. But just showing you some examples here, and this is for a free webinar. Thanks. We'll look it up. Weekend, I guess, regards. Awesome. I'm on it. Thanks, Neil. I'll check it out soon. Thanks for the follow. Thanks, I'll check it out. Thanks, Neil, downloaded. Maybe that was for an ebook. So what I've learned is if it's truly personalized and truly relevant, it can be done. And when you consider how automation can once again help you scale, it can be done in a very savvy way. It's something, once again, not for everybody, but I see more and more brands using it, something to definitely experiment with. That's one tool. There's another tool out of New York called OneCube. That's pretty similar, but I think they give you a lot more filters if you really want to micro-target those people. I used OneCube for an event where I was looking for speakers for Boston, and I got maybe 100 applicants, ended up accepting 20 of them out of maybe contacting, I don't know, 2,000-3,000 very, very relevant marketing professionals. So I know firsthand that this technology does work. So instead of immediately saying automation won't work in social, I hope that you'll at least look at these tools and give them a try. And I think more and more tools are going to offer more and more automation to what they do. Because if it can replicate something you would do manually and you have full control over it, why not, right? That's the only way you can scale. So we're near the end. Performing a technology audit. This isn't rocket science, right? But why you need to do this regularly? You need to make sure the roadmap of the tools align with yours. Because you know, tools companies are going to align their roadmaps with their big customers. If you're one of their big customers, great. If not, you know, it may not be aligned with what you want to do. 6 months, a year from now, it might be a different tool than what you need. Tools companies are always innovating. They're always offering new features, or they should be. New startup tools companies always emerging. There's always venture capital out there. There's always smart people developing great products. A lot coming out from Silicon Valley, a lot coming out from Europe, from Israel. Budgets are limited, right? You always need to be doing due diligence on your budget. and more, there's a great, maybe the last bullet point is most important. More and more, there's a greater need to integrate with all your other tools. As your CIO gets involved and all the social tools that you're investing in, how is it all going to work together with Salesforce, with Marketo, with whatever tools you have? And that's going to be critical that you use tools that have the APIs or the integrations that's going to, once again, allow your organization to scale their social media efforts. But more importantly than that is that social media will continue to evolve because the people who use it, the functionality that these social networks give us, and the way that we use that functionality is always going to be in flux. And I love how we talked a lot about Snapchat. This is the Snapchat that I remember and love. What happened to this Snapchat? Now I go on and, you know, people are telling me with a video to add them to their mailing list, or I see things that really aren't interesting, right? Probably following the wrong people on Snapchat. But, you know, social media is very, very different. A lot of the social media tools we see were developed in a Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, social media world of 2011. We are far beyond that, right? And, you know, we can add Instagram, we can add LinkedIn and Pinterest and Snapchat, and now we have live streaming. And I think more importantly than a Facebook Live or Periscope are the ones on the far right and Facebook Messenger, WhatsApp, WeChat, Line. These are becoming huge social networks in their own. WeChat and Line already have capabilities for businesses to have accounts, to do various things, to accept money, what have you. Especially WeChat is innovative there. Line already has live streaming. They have a game platform in Japan. I think it's only a matter of time before Facebook Messenger, WhatsApp, and Facebook do some really, really interesting things in a world in which it's a mobile-only messaging app. It's similar to Snapchat. I don't want all the noise. I don't want the ads. I just want to be able to communicate with my close friends and share photos and videos. So that's what we're going to see more of, I believe, in the not-so-distant future. So really what all of you need to do as a step one is a mindset that every single tool company out there is already working with several hundred companies like yourself. They have a tremendous amount of IP. I was talking to the Track Maven gentleman. You know, someone was looking for a way to justify their, you know, the ROI and the tool with their boss. Came up with a great report. This is how we're doing compared to all the other insurance companies out there. Got high fives after the meeting. All came because the tools companies have the IP that you don't have. Agencies have this sort of IP as well because they work with a lot of companies. But if you want to do it in-house, you need to have an open door policy. You should be thankful when tools companies reach out and want to sell something to you. Get as much information from them as possible as to how, you know, their clients work or deal with the problems that you have. It can be a tremendous learning opportunity, and you never know when you might need that tool in the near future. So open door policy. Step two, this is, you know, it's not hard to understand, Google. And often if you Google the tool that you currently use, competitors will target that keyword for ads and what have you. So pretty easily you're going to find, just in the top 10 results, other tools that may not have existed just 6 months ago. And really, when you perform that audit, and I tell this to every tools company to reach out to me, number one, does it give me more functionality? If you're just posting these networks, that's nothing new. I'm not going to change. Number two, does it streamline my processes? Does it make it easier for me? Is there one less step I need to take that I can get more for less? Number three, does it integrate better or with more internal tools? Number four, obviously, does it save budget, right? business models are changing as we get into enterprise business models for SaaS products. There's a lot of variation in how these companies are pricing their tools. And then obviously, will support be better? There's always going to be onboarding needs and ongoing support. But if you haven't been satisfied with the support of your current tool vendor, obviously, this is something you want to ask a lot about. And that's it. So, you know, there's a lot to do. I love that question about should B2Bs be on Snapchat or not. There's just so much to do to scale your organization and build an infrastructure that's going to support your future growth and prove your ROI, that I think that, you know, the technology is there. It's just a matter of you finding it and engaging it and creating your own processes and learning how to implement it. And that's it. I think we have 9 minutes left for questions.
About that, yes. So since I'm on this side of the room first, great timing.
Hi.
Hello.
I teach at, you were talking about influencers, and what I'm interested in, I teach at the University of Oregon, and in this, I'm an influencer in the sense that I teach 1,000 students a year.
Absolutely.
I had an experience with a brand that is called Lucy Athletic Wear, and their pants are pretty expensive, and I bought a pair of the pants to wear traveling because I teach in the summer, study abroad. After 2 weeks of wearing the pants, they just started deteriorating and they weren't high quality. So I contacted the brand on Twitter, took a picture, and said, I've had these pants for 2 weeks. You don't want to be a Lululemon, do you? I usually have nice tweets. That was a little bit mean. But they wrote me back immediately and said, let's take this offline, which I thought was smart. Email us, and I assumed I would email them, and they'd get back with me in a year. But they got back with me within an hour, and they said, tell me what's going on with the pants. And they said, okay, we'll take care of it. In 24 hours, we'll send you a brand new pair. And I said, well, I'm in Italy. And they said, we don't care. We'll send you a brand new pair. Just keep the ones you have. We'll send you a new pair. Now, what I'm interested in knowing is...
Great case study.
What's that?
A great case study of a company that listens.
Yes, they listened and they handled it all very quickly, sent me a free pair of pants. So were they looking at my clout score? So what I'd like to know is if a student or 21-year-old did the same thing, would they respond to them in the same way? Or were they looking at my clout score or my level of influence because I could tell 1,000 people if they didn't handle that well? And did they respond to me in that way because of that or not?
Great question. And there's probably a lot of people in the room that would be able to answer that question as well. Just based on my own experience, I'd say you have a few things going on here. You have brands that get, you know, maybe tens of thousands of mentions a day. You have smaller brands that may only get a few mentions a day where they can personally take care of each one regardless of your clout score number of users. The more app mentions or, you know, direct messages you get, if you don't have the resources, you got to triage. You got to segregate them somehow. And a clout score is probably not, you know, not ideal, but it's probably the best social scoring system that we have. I mean, if I find someone that only has 10 Twitter followers and complains, did they just join Twitter to complain or not, right? I also want to look at their other tweets. Are they complaining on every other tweet? So those are things that I think are, if companies are smart, they're looking at, right? So it comes down, ideally, there's a holistic perspective that says, okay, this is for real, we need to engage. Now, some companies completely outsource this process to agencies so that they can do it real time because they don't have the resource. So, and they're working off a playbook, off a manual. Is that playbook done? Are the rules and the processes in place to do the right thing? So I think that brands are in control of it at the end of the day. It turns out, you know, what's the playbook say? And are they going to engage with everybody? Which I find they probably don't, because there's always those people that just send complaining tweets that they probably ignore. People that just joined, or what have you. So I think there's always segregation going on, whether it's by clout score or not, I don't know. But that would be a really, really interesting experiment to have 5 of your students with varying clout scores and varying number of Twitter followers and varying number of months they've been on Twitter. I don't want to cheat on companies, but it would be an interesting experiment to see the differences in what happens there. I mean, I've found really good customer support from some brands on Twitter, but from others, nothing. So, you know, it's going to depend on the brand as well. United Airlines has been great to me, but I'm a million-mile flyer, 1K, and I let them know that every time I tweet. So I get fast response. So, but other brands I haven't gotten. And it's usually if I have a rapport with them, they give me fast response. First time tweeting them, they're like, we don't have any rapport with this person. Is this for real? Are they really a customer?
I have that kind of response from United as well. But and they look me up also, and they'll say, thank you, professor, and things like that.
So right.
They pay attention.
Yeah, and I wasn't even asking for a freebie. As a 1K with this new policy, they're supposed to the cabin attendant's supposed to offer you a free premium beverage, and I wasn't offered it, so I DM'd them while I was on the aircraft. They said, that's not the way it should work. Let us know about the flight number. We'll look into it. So, you know, I thought they were very professional and very reactive, and that's what you want, right?
In terms of the analytics, I think there are a lot of listening tools that do have that really great analytical data in the back end. But where I sort of struggle is it's a whole nother job to sit there and analyze all of it. So is it, or would you recommend having an agency do that aspect to really flesh out the reporting to be visual and understandable for people? Or is it smarter to have that in-house and constantly available to you to manipulate whatever you need to based on who you're presenting it to?
Right. I think the need to analyze the data is only going to get greater and greater, the need to have a data scientist in your social media or marketing division. So, you know, what are tasks that are great to do in-house? What are tasks that are great to outsource? We could probably talk about this over dinner tonight, over drinks at networking reception, but if you have the aptitude in-house, then, you know, and you have the budget to do it, I say you do it, but no, the other way to look at it is you could try to leapfrog an agency by working with them for a year or two with the notion that you just want to learn from them, and in the future you may do it yourself. And I think a lot of companies, unfortunately, exploit agencies in that way. They have a short-term perspective, but I do know of brands that do that. But yeah, I mean, there are a lot of tools, and that's why, you know, LiftMetrics is the first one I've found that's an analytical tool, but it really focuses on your objectives and providing you metrics that showcase, you know, did you reach your objective or not? So if you haven't heard of them, you should definitely check them out. But yeah, that's the challenge. There are agencies that have they've built unique reporting dashboards, and if you find one of those, you know, it may be better to work with them. Always ask for sample reports, what have you. But yeah, depending on who you're talking to internally, those reports are now going to be widely different because it's social business, is everyone social, right? So at the end of the day, I do think you'll need that in-house if you're a big enough organization.
Mm-hmm. We have 2 minutes, so I'm going to ask a quick question and look for a quick response. And that is, about how often, for a socially active brand, how often should they turn over parts of their tools, given the influx of new tools coming in? I know it's a general question, but in your experience, Neil?
That's a great question. I think that every 90 days they should do an audit. It doesn't have to, the audit may not even take a day. Just do a sanity check. I think these events are great events as well to ask your peers what tools they use to get a sense, are you locked into something that no one's using anymore? Or are you using the tool that everyone's using and you feel a lot safer being as part of that mass? So I'd say do an audit every 90 days. I think most tools you stick with for a while because your processes are not changing. But you know, maybe every 1 to 2 years would be the time to start looking at, are there pieces in the process that are taking up a lot of time that we can make more efficient and find a new tool for?
Terrific. Thank you, Neil. You going to be around later?
Yeah. Who's going to the social selling influencer marketing dinner? Okay, cool. Well, for those of you, I'll be having dinner, and I'll be at the networking reception.
Neil Schaefer, thank you so much for your insights.
Thank you very much.